Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for yet another show. We are going to get you to school or work and have some fun with great Disney stories. Today, Scotty G is sitting in. We had a last-minute cancellation, and we just sit down and talk about stories that you've never heard on the podcast from our trips to Walt Disney World, all the way back to the Spectro Magic Star Wars weekends. Those times, Disney Quest, things you can't do anymore down at Walt Disney World, and some current stories as well. But we're just going to share some of our favorite memories from past trips. So it's kind of a potpourri of trip reports, little mini trip reports. We hope you enjoy today's show. Don't forget, today's show is brought to you by our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. When you're ready to take your next Disney adventure, we ask that you please work with the great agents over at the Magic for Less. Just drop by themagicforless.com today. Check out all the great trip planning tools, pictures from the resorts, room layouts, all the specials that are running right now, all the information you need to plan a great Disney getaway all in one place. And while you're there, fill out that free no obligation quote form. And please make sure you let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits. It costs you nothing extra, and every purchase helps everything we do here on the show. We sure appreciate it every time you click through. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1620 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rahman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. We hope that you had an awesome weekend, got to spend some time with friends and family, get away from that work for a little bit, but it is time to report back. So it's time for a commute. Maybe you have an hour-long commute like some of our listeners write in on Wednesdays and tell us to take us along on those extremely long commutes. Maybe you have a commute like me, which is exactly 14 steps down into the basement. That'd be nice, but it cuts down your podcast listening time. That's why you got to run a lot. But either way, hope you take the show with you wherever you go. And today we had a guest have to drop out at the last minute, so we are pinch hitting here. And it's not going to be a trip report, but what it's going to be today is a collection of stories from Walt Disney World vacations over our lifetimes just to have a little fun. So you're going to hear about stuff long gone, stuff that we've never talked about here on the podcast from past trips. Thank you, Google Photos, for being one of the sponsors of today's show, because you're bringing back lots and lots of memories. So joining me today, my good buddy from up in Michigan, we have Scotty G. Scott, what's going on?
Hey, Mike. Glad to be here on another Monday episode. Just for the record, my commute is 13.1 miles. So no, I've always joked about I could run to work and come back to work for my marathon training.
You totally should. I've thought about that because I know people, like one of my buddies who was a PE teacher with me when I taught school, he would ride his bicycle. He had like a racing 10 speed and he would ride that to his school, and it was like 10 or 12 miles away, which was awesome, especially once the weather got nice. You know, it's a good way to get your workout in before school, after school. But I mean, once you got there, you know, like we didn't have shower facilities in elementary schools, you know, so I always wondered about that. But you know, that was Bryce.
Yeah. We actually do have showers at our facility, which is pretty nice. And we have like a nice little running track outside too, so sometimes I'll run there. But if I want to do just get a half marathon in, just run the work.
Let's see it.
Maybe on the way back. Maybe after the work day is done.
That's it. Like, all right, man, it's 4:30. Got to get my run on. I'll see you at 7. That's awesome. All right. So Michael is in the live chat. Michael L, he ran the St. Patty's Day half marathon with me out in Creve Coeur, so I want to shout out him. That was a great time seeing him. And also at Crescent Lake on Twitter, got to meet him as well. So we ran out there. Michael was even one step better than me, had the Lizards jersey on. I had my Dopey shirt on because I was trying to find something like the right color green for St. Patrick's Day. Even though Lizard Green would have worked, I didn't even put two and two together. It was early. It was Pam's birthday. I just wanted to get home before I got in trouble. So anyway, let's tell some stories from Walt Disney World over the years. So Scott, I know you've sent me some pictures and you're excited about this topic. Lay a story on us, because on Monday on a commute, we just need to hear about our favorite place. And it's just fun to hear about other people's unique experiences down at the park. So what do you have?
Yeah, for sure. When you sent me this message about this topic, I was like, oh, that's an awesome topic. It's just like an old school radio, two guys chatting about Disney. Totally. Like, how awesome is that? Like how the podcast like originally started.
That's right.
So one story I want to share, I'll talk about, it's not really tied in the running, but the only time I've ever really have done four parks in one day is when I'm running the full marathon, except for one other time. And I wanted to talk about that. And that was for my 30th birthday, actually. I was like, what can we do for my 30th? Like, how can we make this special? We decided to do four parks in one day. And I won't really bore you with like the details. Like, yeah, we went to the studios, Epcot, and all those places. Went to California Grill for dinner, which is fun. And then my girls were dressed up in nice dresses. And then we went to Magic Kingdom and rode Splash Mountain. And they hated me forever for that because they got soaked in their nice outfits. But what really, this is a funny story. I don't even know if I shared this with you, Mike. But this is when I started running, was like around my 30th birthday. So I had lost a lot of weight. And my ring was starting to get kind of loose on my finger. So anyway, like we had a nice breakfast at Hollywood and Vine. That's where we started the day. And then we went to the backlot tour. And like, I don't know if everyone remembers that, but like one of the first scenes was this Pearl Harbor thing. Yes. Where they would ask for volunteers.
I love that scene. Oh, man.
Yeah, that was so much fun, wasn't it? So I'm kind of near the front. They're like, does anyone want to volunteer? And I raised my hand like an idiot. And they're like, you, the one celebrating the birthday, come on up. And like, I wasn't sure if it was me, but it was. So I went up there. Excuse me. So they like put you in this like rain jacket kind of thing, because there's like water on that first season, on that first scene, because like water's exploding everywhere. There's like fire and all this stuff. So I just had, so that my scene was, I just had to like kind of scream and react to like the water, like just going crazy. So I'm in my scene, I'm getting ready, the water explodes. And then I started screaming, but I was actually really screaming. It wasn't even acting, because when the water hit my hand, it was so forceful. My wedding ring just like shot right off my hand. Just the combination of it being so wet and like losing like all that weight, because it was so loose on my finger. So I'm like going, like looking for my ring. Because like, I don't know where it went. And then all of a sudden I noticed like, oh, it went down the drain. So I lost my first wedding ring at Walt Disney World. And so I think that's a funny story.
So your wedding ring is I'm trying to picture where that was. So Beck, so basically your wedding ring is probably buried somewhere in Galaxy's Edge. And yeah. That too.
Isn't that awesome?
You gotta look at the bright side of that.
And then a side note, so Elizabeth, my wife, replaced the wedding ring like when we got back home. And maybe like 3 or 4 months later, I was taking out the trash, and as I was putting the trash out, my wedding ring just slid right off and went in the trash. So then she got me a third ring. And those of you that know me, like, you know that it's a Mickey band. Like there's Mickey silhouettes on the band. And I have not lost that one since. She's like, oh, so all you really needed was a Disney ring. And that's how you keep it.
So, yeah. So you were just trying to get until you got the ring that was perfect for you. You just kind of kept.
Exactly.
Excellent. Losing it. No, that's right, Mike.
I always think about like, there's a piece of our marriage at Hollywood Studios and now it's in Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah. It's in Batu. Yeah. That's awesome. All right, so we're just going to go back and forth. My story is just something that I hope folks that maybe have gone on super long road trips can relate to. Because, you know, if you're a newer listener to the podcast, we have a lot of new listeners. Back in the day, until about 4 years ago, I was scared to death to fly. So I wouldn't fly like in high school or college or anything. I drove everywhere. But when I got married to my wife back in 2006... you know, you're still trying. She always says, I'm still trying to catch her, even though it was our honeymoon and I caught her because we were married for a couple days. We were flying down to Miami for a cruise. We took the third sailing of Freedom of the Seas out of Miami. So I was like, suck it up, Buttercup. You need to get on that plane. I was self-talking myself, you know. So we did. We flew down on American Airlines and I freaked out on the plane. I hated it. I was scared to death. It was just as bad as I've been thinking for the last decade before that. And so we ended up, long story short, we ended up renting a rental car at the Miami airport and driving back to St. Louis one way. Cost a fortune. And she didn't talk to me till at least Georgia, but then she got over it.
And that was from Miami. So yeah, like, yeah, dude, really, like South Florida.
Do you think it's a long way from like the Georgia-Florida state line to Orlando? It's twice as far to Miami. I didn't realize Miami was that far south. Oh, my gosh. I thought we were in Cuba. So anyway, that's where all this started. So I was like, I'm never flying the rest of my life. If God puts me back on the ground in Miami safely, I promise I will never get on a plane the rest of my life. So we drove for the next decade. Every time we went down, and we'd go a couple times a year. And various times we'd borrow different cars because, you know, our cars, like Pam had a Cavalier that had 1 million miles on it. I had a Jeep Wrangler that had a soft top and no air conditioning, and it was old with big, like, stompy tires. There's no way we're taking that. So we took her mom. Her parents had a Monte Carlo, a rather kind of new, like, Chevy Monte Carlo. And so we cram in Pam and myself, Paige at the time, who was about eight, and her best friend, who was eight or nine. So there's four of us, and we're going down for a week, and we're at a Monte Carlo. So we don't have, like, a lot of, you know, they had a pretty big trunk, but I mean, it's not like an SUV. It's like a race car is what I always called it. Anyway, we go down. We don't care. We're having a good time. Again, a lot younger and a lot more stupid back then. I would never do this nowadays because I'm just older and wiser and more cranky. But we're like, hey, we're going to Disney World, whatever. So we load up. We make it down. I got a couple stories about this car, but the first one was, we get down there, and we're all excited. We're at Pop Century. You know, the girls are pumped. I'm so excited to be at Walt Disney World. So is Pam. Well, of course, when you're on a road trip, you bring food, right? You have, like, snacks in the car and all that stuff. Oh, okay, yeah. So
you got to survive on those long road 100, trips.
Oh, 100%. You know, that's what gets you through, especially because we used to drive through the night. Like, we'd leave at, like, 5 o'clock in the evening, drive through the night, and get there the next, like, morning. So anyway, we're all excited. We go to the check-in area, you know, find out what our room is. We take all of our luggage into the room. We're all excited, you know, jump in the pool because the girls are like eight, you know, and like I'm just like an eight-year-old too because everything was new to me still back then. We get going, like vacation starts. So everything's fine. Like 2 days later, we forgot something in the car. Okay, so we're like, oh man, we got to go out to the car and grab that. We must have left it in the car. We had bought a dozen Entenmann's donuts on the way down and left those in the car when we unpacked it. Every aunt in Orange County or Osceola County had found this car. It was so bad. There were ants all over the car. I mean, just all it was so gross. It was so gross.
The visual is so bad. Do you have photos of that in your Google Photos?
I can't. No, I don't think I do. And I'm glad because I've been. Well, but yeah, so anyway, like Pam ends up taking, like we get as many out as we can. Pam takes it to like a local little place close that like has vacuums and like vacuumed it out and everything. And I think my mother-in-law is none the wiser. They don't have that car anymore, at least. But yeah, so I'm just saying, if you ever go on a road trip, especially in the summer, this was in July, do not leave sweets in the backseat. It is not pretty. So that's a story I don't think I've ever told. And yeah, it's a warning.
I think I've heard another story about the Monte Carlo.
Well, the other one about that one is the transmission went out on the way home one time. It's the same trip. It's actually the same trip because Molly was with us.
Yeah, I thought it was the same trip.
It was the same trip. So we're driving home and the transmission goes out in Georgia. And so what happens is there's something goes wrong with the motor. I mean, majorly wrong with the motor. So the shifter's not working. So what happened was, like, I don't even know what it was, but because I remember we stopped at a McDonald's in Kentucky at some point and we called her dad. Her dad was, Pam's dad's a retired mechanic for Chevy. So he knows how to fix everything. He's like, I think you're going to be okay, but we'll head that way. We'll kind of meet up with you somewhere in Illinois or like Paducah, Kentucky, like, you know, halfway from where you are now. But what happened was as soon as you started the car, it would like, you couldn't like shift it into gear. It was already in gear. Like, so I have to park it in such a way that I can go forward out. Like I can't park where I'm going to butt up against something. So I kind of like almost parallel park in the side of the restaurant, like in five spots, because when we got back in, I told everybody, get ready. I start the car. And this is a Monte Carlo, man. This thing's a muscle car, really.
So and you're loaded with like 500 pounds of luggage. Dude,
totally. So I start the car at this McDonald's. And there's like a lot of old people there because it was like early in the morning. So I start the car. It's like, meh. We're like squealing out of there around the drive-thru. And it just blasted. I can't believe we just still drove this car.
I just stole 20 Egg McMuffins.
So road trip memories, and thank you Southwest for not having to go through any of this anymore. So there's my two road trip stories. That's what I have. All right, give
you
know, us
you said
one.
Something about just get me on the ground when you're talking about your American flight. Like,
yes.
So I love flying, but I still say that to this day. Like when we're getting close, I'm like, oh please, just get me on the ground. I'll behave. Like I'll be good. Can you just get me on the ground to Florida? Like that's all I want. I still that's like a tradition of mine when I fly.
Yeah, see, I'm with you.
So I'm going to talk. That was great. That was awesome. And I've never done the road trip.
You've never done that.
So I've done the road trip to Hilton Head, South Carolina, which is still like 14 hours for us.
Yeah,
like
that's the same.
And we've never done like straight through. We always stop. But like the excitement of getting them Walt Disney World like in the car sounds awesome. It's the car ride back. Like I can't imagine. Brutal. Like that just seems so brutal.
That's a good point though. On the way down, there's like an anticipation, you know, because like if you leave from St. Louis, okay, now we're in Illinois. Well, Illinois is kind of boring because we're in Illinois a lot. You know, it's our neighboring state. But then once you hit Kentucky, a little bit different. Then you're in Tennessee. Then you're like in Chattanooga.
The mountains almost in Tennessee are just so awesome.
Especially like because we drive through right at sunrise sometimes, and it was just gorgeous in that area. Like between Nashville and Chattanooga. Then you go through Georgia. Georgia took forever, and it was a miracle if you didn't get a speeding ticket. Then you get to Florida. You get your orange juice. And your kids always think you're at Walt Disney World as soon as you hit the Florida state line. And, like, the first time you go, you think the same thing. And then it's like, you know, you got 3 more hours. So, yeah. Okay. The road trip's fun, though. Not on the way home.
But, yeah, then the reverse of that, though, is like, you're like, oh, my God, I just had all this fun. I'm tired. Exactly. And now I had to drive home. Especially if you just, like, did a full marathon for the first time.
Oh, dude, bro. Yeah, I'm telling you. It's been there.
That's the last time you drove, I think.
It is. I think it is. That did it for me. All right, so tell. I want to hear the story about the Mike Wazowski and Spaceship Earth kind of picture.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. So this was, oh, man, I don't even know, like 2013 or something. We had a reservation at Tappanetto. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. I'm just going to say Tappanetto. I apologize. My Twitter handle is Epcot if you want to destroy me for that. Epcot, excuse me.
I was going to say, it's not Epcot either.
Yeah, so we're at Tappanetto, and you know the seating for the hibachi. You sit with another group because we're just a family of three. And there's this guy from New Jersey that I'm sitting next to. And it is the night of the NFL draft. And this guy is obsessed with the Jets, the New York Jets. Yep. And he's like, Scott, who's your team? I'm like, oh, they're the Lions. Like, oh, they're drafting eighth tonight. Like I'm going to stream the NFL draft during this whole meal, man. We can just talk football the whole time. I never even met this guy before. So, like, Elizabeth is, like, kicking me under the table. She's like, what are you doing? Like, well, this guy's friendly. He just wants to talk football. So we're talking the NFL draft, like, during all of dinner. And then I don't know what happened. Like, time was just, like, going by so long. And then, like, dinner has been over for a while. Him and I are still on his phone, like, watching the draft. Next thing we know, it's, like, 9:45. Like, Illuminations is, like, long over. And, like, I don't know what happened. And, like, Emily is getting cranky. Elizabeth's ready to go. And I'm like, hey, this is a fun dinner. But, like, the park's been closed for almost an hour. Like, we're going to roll out of here. So, and, like, we're deep, you know, where Japan is. Like, you're deep back there, too. Like, so we have a long stroll to get out. Which was nice. Like, I love those late night strolls through World Showcase, by the way. Those are awesome. Oh, the park is, like, emptying out. Like, with the background music, it's so good. So we're just kind of doing the long stroll, and we get to the front, and there's, like, a bunch of people there and, like, these cameras. I'm like, what's going on to Elizabeth? Like, what is happening here? And then just talking about being, like, the right moment at the right time, or thanks to that guy to watching the draft, all of a sudden, Sully from Monsters, Inc. is projected on Spaceship Earth. And it was, like, this crazy, like, media event to promote, like, the summer promotion they were doing that, like, something, like, some kind of summer promotion. I can't remember the
name. Yeah, it was tied in with Monsters, Inc. It was, like, a monstrous summer or something like that. I remember
that. Yeah, because it was, like, the Monsters U was being released that summer. So all of a sudden, like, and he's going, like, rah, like, all this crazy stuff. Like, it was so awesome.
You're like, did I have too much sake, and did the Jets just draft Sanchez?
Yes, exactly. So then I'm like, what is this? This is awesome. And then all of a sudden, like, Mike Wazowski is on there, and he's, like, got his eye, and he's, like, blinking it. And it was just, talk about, like, being at the right place at the right time. But, like, it was a really cool memory. I wish I was better at taking photos, though, because, like, the photos I have are not the greatest. Like, the ones of Mike Wazowski on there are good, but, like, the ones where I tried to put us in it, like, I was putting the flash on, and, like, I was so new. I was such an amateur with photography, and, like, I was, because I had my Nikon, like, super special camera, and I was trying to get all the right settings, you know, and, like, today I would just whip out my iPhone and get, like, the perfect shot, which is just kind of sad to think now. But, like, that was just a really cool moment. I was pleasantly surprised. I had no idea that was happening. It was just really cool to see Spaceship Earth projected with like, the Monsters, Inc. characters. It was super awesome.
Well, and that's what's funny, because the pictures I'm looking at are pre-iPhone release, you know, like 2006, 2005, even 2004. So these were, I mean, they're not bad looking, actually, but what they were, they were digital pictures taken with our school's camera that I borrowed over the summer. Yeah. I mean, nobody was using it, and I was the one that took all the pictures. Yeah, so it's funny, but, okay, so look, I want to talk about some of the things. Like, I'm looking through these pictures, and I'm thinking, man, I can't remember, you know, it's been so long since I've thought about this, but things we used to do on our trips, one that Mallory wasn't even born then, that Paige loved was going, we always went to Disney Quest at Downtown Disney back in the day not Disney Springs, obviously. And she loved, loved, loved over there the, I don't think it had the same name, but it was like the Animation Academy, where they drew on the screen and, you know, there was an animator there. And it was basically like the head of the studios at some point. But she loved that. My wife and I always loved playing the retro video games. Like, there's a picture of us. I'm playing Donkey Kong and Galaxian. My wife's playing Galaga. That's her game. She's super good at that game. So don't ever challenge her at that one. She might look like she doesn't know video games. She can school you in that one for sure.
I think of like War Games, that Matthew Broderick movie where like he's playing like an arcade. I think that's what he's playing.
Yeah. But the only way to win is to not play.
Yes.
Just saying. Also, yeah, okay, what else? Oh, now did you go to Disney Quest ever?
Never went to Disney Quest.
Oh, you're killing me. So in Disney Quest, there are two really cool things that I loved in Disney. I love the old video games, but I mean, you can really do that anywhere. It was great for a rainy day, though. And plus, back then, it was including your tickets. You didn't pay extra. You know, you had those just like, they were called Ultimate Park Hoppers, so you just did whatever you wanted. You went to water parks and everything. It's so different nowadays. I mean, because I know when Magic Your Way came out, they said customize your plan to get exactly what you're looking for in your vacation. But I kind of liked it where you checked in and you could do whatever you wanted. You know, you didn't have to think about it. It wasn't an add-on. Maybe you were paying extra if you didn't do it, but I mean, shoot, we did it all. So anyway, two things at Disney Quest that I missed that we really enjoyed doing was one, and crazy enough, it was just the elevator that took you up to the different floors. It was, it had kind of like LCD screens all around it, and it had the genie telling you stories, telling you where you were going. It was Robin Williams, and it was just really, it was like an enchanted elevator. You didn't, just kind of got dark and projections and stuff, really cool. And also they had this, it was kind of like modified bumper cars where you drove a bumper car, but it also shot like playground balls. So, you know, like those red balls, like dodgeballs. You would shoot those things, and if you hit the other cars, it would send them into a spin. And the line was always super long for that. It was like Buzz Lightyear's something or other.
That sounds super fun,
dude. It was like, awesome.
You and me, like on those things, like that would be a blast.
It was really cool. I mean, you know, I don't know. I guess something like that would be hard to keep up nowadays with how fast technology is changing and how hyper realistic like a PlayStation 5 is going to be whenever that gets released next year. You know, PlayStation 4 is now, and the Void is obviously an upscale kind of experience to what Disney Quest may have had. So who knows? But I mean, for the time, you know, as I go through these pictures, like we went to Disney Quest quite a bit and we always had a good time. And it was kind of like a safety net where if you had a rainy day, because we were down there during a hurricane, Hurricane Charlie. So we had rain that trip, and we went there a couple times. And also, I see another picture where Paige is so happy because she had a Happy Meal from McDonald's at Disney's, at Downtown Disney, because they had a McDonald's. It was next to the Pollo Chicken, I remember. I don't even remember what that was, but that was.
And was the Disney Quest part of like your package if you did a Magic Away package?
Yeah,
did
totally.
You get some tickets there?
So yeah,
I'm sure that brought a lot of people out there too.
Yeah, Ultimate Park Hopper was a lot of fun. I mean, it's just, it was a, you know what it did too, is it brought us over to Downtown Disney at the day, and then we would always go to, you know, obviously we'd go shop while you were there. It didn't have as many dining options there. They had some, not like today. But I mean, you always went there, and then you wouldn't go there and not like go to World of Disney. You know, so like just getting you there, you were going to pay it. You were going to buy some additional stuff. So I kind of missed that, but what can you do?
Well, I know this is kind of related to Disney Quest, kind of not, but like the NBA experience, I know it's getting ripped on, but like that is something I want to do so bad. I don't know why. Like it's really interests me, but like no one ever wants to do it.
See,
like, I don't want to go in there by myself and do it.
Here's what I wonder. Okay. So you're from,
Michigan.
You're from Michigan.
We got the Pistons here.
That's what I'm saying. You're from an area that has an NBA franchise. And also a very good, you know, a legacy college basketball team, you know, so you are very invested in that sport, where in some place like St. Louis, we don't have an NBA franchise. We don't, I mean, basketball, Mizzou's good every, you know, couple decades, you know, for a couple of years and that's about it. So it's not talked about. It's kind of like out of sight, out of mind here. Now I wouldn't mind going in there, but to be honest, I don't want to pay a lot of money to go in there. I'd like to get a half price coupon to check it out. You know, I'm kind of tight, but I think I'm just a sports fan, so I think I would not like it. I would like it, but I mean,
that's why I think you and I need to go in there.
We should
slam dunk. We got the lower of the hoop like 8 inches from me.
We'd totally get hurt if we did that, but it'd be fun. Oh, it'd be a good story. It'd be another story, but you know, another 700 shows, we could tell that story. So there you go.
Exactly.
All right, give us another story. I'm looking for some more.
Yeah. So this is a story where I actually wrote a blog post about this years ago in the Mouse for Less. I just talked about this on my last one, but I love touring World Showcase. It's one of my favorite things to do at all of Walt Disney World. Just my favorite like themed land, my favorite themed area is World Showcase. But you know, we'd go there all the time, and you know, you can only do so many like Color the Duffies to keep your kids entertained.
Yep.
I mean, and Emily doesn't get like bored or anything. Our daughter Emily, like, she's really well behaved. She really embraces the culture of Rural Showcase. But for one trip, we tried to do something different, and we called it Around the World in $80. You know, kind of like Around the World in 80 days. So we gave her a gift card with $80, and this is when she was way younger. So we're like trying to make like a math element and like a budgeting. Like we try to turn it into a lesson. So, all right, Emily, so we got 11 countries, you got $80. Like how much can you spend on average at each country and so on? So, and the rule was she had to buy something at every Rural Case pavilion while we toured for that day. So we started in Mexico, which is, you know, where we always start. You guys heard me a few weeks ago. I started in Mexico. I get my margarita.
That's right.
And she buys like a $25 or $30 purse.
Yeah, so you're like, okay, this you just made this infinitely more challenging for the rest of
the
activity.
So like, all right, Emily, so that's awesome that you got this cool value on this purse, you know, it's super cool. But like, you subtract that from your $80, how much do you have left, and how many countries do you have remaining, things like that. So it was a fun little game. And Kate, she loved it. She would just go through like the pavilions like she never would before. Like she would be really curious about what they sold, but then she had the budget some as well. For instance, in Italy, she really struggled there, so she just found like 3 chocolates and spent like $1.50 on chocolates, which was a good way to save money for the next pavilion and so on.
That's real world. I mean, that's honestly, I mean, that's how you got to look at things. That's real world. I mean, that's, rob Peter to pay Paul kind of thing.
Exactly. And she had a blast doing it. She got 11 souvenirs out of it. I mean, they weren't the most expensive, but she did get a $30 purse.
She's got a cool purse.
Yeah. And we didn't do it all over one day, too. Like, we did it like, so we went through like Mexico to, you know, the American Pavilion one day, and then on another day later in the trip, we went back and completed the rest of it. So it gave her something to look forward to as well later on the trip. I mean, I really highly recommend it for those younger, like, you know, older than a toddler, but like the 6 to 8 year old range. I think it really kept her entertainment, like got her more interested in the culture and things like that. It was one of my favorite memories of touring Epcot.
I think that's a great idea too. And it's even for, like, our daughters right now are kind of middle school age, but I think, you know, and it's like they're you know, they enjoy their Disney vacations. Both of our daughters do, definitely. But it's one of those things where if you want to try to spin an educational aspect out of a trip, Epcot's the place to do it, World Showcase specifically. But even with, like, Mallory now has, you know, obviously most kids that are in middle school have like an iPhone or some kind of a, you know, a phone, a smartphone, yep. Where, you know, maybe even if they're not buying things, give them some kind of criteria and say, you know what, you have to snap pictures of X, Y, and Z, you know, representing, you know, a country that's a Scandinavian country or, you know, someplace, you know, just do a little groundwork. And I'm sure with the internet nowadays, you can find all kinds of like scavenger hunt type things, like photo scavenger hunts.
That.
That'd be awesome.
Or it could just be like a family thing too. Who can take the most creative photo like in this pavilion and like bring it back home and like have family members like vote on it or something. Like, you can do so many things. But if we were to do this exercise now with our girls, it'd be like Around the World and $480 instead of $80. The way they spend
doing it. I know, seriously. That's what I'm saying. Nowadays, $80 would get you, you know, a couple margaritas and some chips.
Yeah, exactly. And
that's those kids wouldn't get anything. Okay, so I'm going through pictures and I can't tell what year these are from. These are from 2006. So, okay, this was just a random day at the studios with Paige, Pam, and myself, because that's all we had back then. Nari's born in 2008. And what is this? Just, it's so fun to kind of look back in a time capsule. So one is I always carry this huge backpack back then in every picture. I have this backpack. Like, I don't know. Like, did I think I was going to be stranded in the theme park for like 2 weeks? I don't know.
It was that camera that you were borrowing from school, you know?
It was. You
had to, like, store it somewhere.
Do you remember? You're younger than me. I always forget that you're so much younger than me, but we had what was called a Sony Mavica, okay? So the Mavica had those 3.5-inch floppy disks that you would slide in the side, and they would only hold like 20 pictures. But you know what? That's what you used at Space Camp. And I mean, that was cutting edge back in the day, so I'm just saying. Don't make fun of my Mavica.
Sure.
Google it, younger people. Sony Mavica. It was it was awesome. Man, when we had one, though, you thought you were the stuff. You're like, I got a digital camera. Anyway, so I'm looking at the stuff we did on this day at the studios. Okay, so let me just give you a snapshot of what we did this day that you can't do anymore. So there's a picture of Paige. She is like in midair doing a somersault down Sunset Boulevard on a red carpet. I'll have to post some of these pictures. With the citizens of Hollywood out there. So they were doing, I remember, this is a long time ago, that shows I'm old, but I can still remember. it was a contest. They had the red carpet out because you have been invited to walk the red carpet in Hollywood. And it was a contest so you could give the best, like, who could walk the red carpet the best. And so
that is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess Paige, back in the day before she was so introverted, she cartwheeled down. So that's okay. What it is. And she won, I think, because the lady's given her something. I can't tell. So anyway.
Do you remember what you did? Did you just like try to do like the smooth walk on the carpet?
I took pictures with the Sony Mavica camera, and that's what I did. that was my thing. Okay, so after that, there's a picture of Pam and Paige in front of the New York backdrop. Remember like the New York set, the streets of America? Yeah. Yep. Okay, there. Paige is in front of the Golden Gate Bridge in what she called the Full House set because it's San Francisco in the background. Next picture, she's with Herbie the Love Bug. Okay, so let's see how many of these we can do. Next picture, here come the Power Rangers rolling out in this like 1950s blue and black car with a big like gun on the back of it. They're all
Power
riding.
Rangers?
Yep, and they're in front of, they're in that little circle back where Lights Motor Action was. That's where this picture is. Okay,
yeah, so I can picture that. Yeah.
So in the next picture, it's Lightning McQueen and Mater. So we're meeting them. Next picture, we're in the big, huge stadium for Lights Motor Action, getting ready for the shows. Can't do that anymore.
I was about to say, I kind of liked that, though. Like, the first time I did, I really liked it.
I did, too. But I think it just didn't have a lot of repeatability.
People hated it, but...
Yeah. You needed to catch it, like, on a not super hot day. Because I remember that theater was super hot on a hot day. I don't know what it was.
And then it was kind of, like, fantastic. And then, like, leaving was just such a pain in the neck. Because you're all just, like, bundled up with all these people.
Yep. And then I see, like, we got a picture of Buzz Lightyear, but he's actually in front of this big box, just like he comes in the movie. That was, I can't figure out where that was. Oh, it looks like it was over, I'm trying to see the background. Maybe over by Mama Melrose or something, I'm guessing. I can't figure it out from the background. Because the studios, it's crazy because then, like, the next night we saw Spectral Magic and we went to Typhoon Lagoon. And it's so funny because I think as Disney fans... meeting Kim Possible and Ron, whatever, her boyfriend or whoever that is. Oh,
yeah.
I was the next one to be in the hot seat for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Play it. That's my number on the screen. I was going to be in the hot seat, but then the show ended. Oh,
How frustrating is that?
That's so bad. And there's a picture of Paige in Narnia because they had that walkthrough attraction at the studios for Narnia.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. And then they had like a Jack Sparrow one. Remember that too?
Yeah, they had that. And also doing the backlot tour, seeing Walt's airplane and all kinds of stuff. I mean,
you didn't lose your wedding ring?
I didn't, dude, I've had it on. It has never been off me since Pam put it on me at our wedding. I've never taken it off since 2006. You have to cut my finger off. So anyway, though, I mean, the thing is, I think as Disney fans, we're so plugged into the news. And the thing is, like, you know, as the show comes out today, something will change in one of the theme parks or the hotels or, you know, Disneyland or something. And we just keep up with the news. But when you look back over the span of like a decade or, you know, this is like 16 years, you see that so much has changed. You know, and the thing is, back then, I loved Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Play It. That was a great attraction. And it was so unique, too, because... it really celebrated what the studio was all about. You could have swore they were taping an episode of the show and you got a chance to be in the hot seat. You got a chance to win a Disney cruise. I mean, you'd have to be really lucky, but you could. And that's what I like. So I just like looking back and kind of seeing all the stuff that's changed over the years so much, especially at the studios.
For sure. A trip down memory lane.
Oh, 100%. There's Mallory or Paige playing with the goats at the Animal Kingdom. That's crazy. All right. Let's go with another story. You got another one?
Yeah, I got another one. So, I always try to be like, have a funny story too. You know?
Oh, yeah, I gotta have
that. That's just my personality. But like, this is a story about like the most frustrated I've ever been in a Disney theme park. And it's not like super negative at all. But, and you were actually part of this, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of our friends were. So, a big crew of us, your family, the Foresters, everyone, like, we had a big group at Animal Kingdom. And it was looking kind of overcast, like it might rain. And everyone was like, you know what, let's just seek some shelter. Let's go to the Nomad Lounge and just hang out here for a little bit. But our girls, Mallory and Emily, really wanted to ride Everest so bad for whatever reason. And no one wanted to do it with them. And we didn't want them. I think they were a lot younger then. So we didn't want to like let them off on their own. And I was like, you know what, I'll go ride Everest with you. The second I left, it just started downpouring.
It was pouring that night, man.
And then And that's a hike to get from the Nome Lounge to Everest. So here we are in this downpour. I'm like, girls, you sure? Like, we want to do this. Let's just go back. The ride might be down. They're like, no, we got to do it. So we get there. The ride's open. We ride it. It hurts because of the rain. And I'm just soaked. And I come back and I see all my best friends in the world just sitting dry, having drinks, laughing, telling stories. And here I am just like dripping in pouring rain. And I was so angry. I'm like, why am I not here with a cocktail and dry clothes? But it's just a fun story. And you guys are all like kind of teasing me, but I kind of was grumpy. Like,
you were, because you're never grumpy. That's the thing. When Scott's grumpy, yeah, you're like, whoa, something's up.
Like, I remember like Steve, I think Steve drove that day and he drove us back to the resort. He's like, and he was just cracking me up. Like, Scott, I've never seen you like that.
That's what we all said. We're texting each other like, dude, Scott's not happy. It's weird. I think somebody did buy you a Leaping Lizard, though, or something. I mean,
I think it was your Pam did.
I was going to say, somebody needed to get you a drink ASAP.
Yeah. I mean, that was just funny. Like, we all had, like, really funny stories like that. But, like, that was, I've never been in such a rainstorm where I wasn't, like, covered in the parks. And, like, my shoe, like, every single inch of me was just soaked. I mean, it was so miserable. But it was a fun memory. I mean, the girls had fun. I actually have video of us on Everest in the rain. It's kind of fun to watch every now and then. But I do get a little flashback of like, oh, I could have been dry having drinks with my friends, but it's all good.
I'm putting this together. I'm thinking Everest. I was thinking like Pandora. I'm like, it's not that far. No, it was Everest.
No, we went to Everest.
I'm like,
it was a hike.
I'm like, you're kind of a wimp. Pandora's really close to November.
I think Kelly's son was there too. Like, Kelly Werbel's son was out there getting soaked. Like, he was on the safari or something. So at least he had some covering. But
oh, I remember that. It was poor. But you know what? I hate to say this. If you were sitting on that patio at the Nome Lounge, it was awesome, man. There's nothing better than a Florida thunderstorm when you're not getting wet.
I know. That's why I was so mad. Like, everyone's here having the best time ever with a cocktail, chatting, watching the thunderstorm, all dry, and I'm just soaked.
Oh, man. That's so funny. All right. So I just found some more pictures. So, again, the studios, but back in the day, and I don't think you ever did this either because I think this was before your time, was Star Wars Weekends.
I did Star Wars Weekends.
Okay, you did Star Wars. Star Wars Weekends were so cool. And one of the things I really enjoyed about Star Wars Weekends were the stormtroopers that were above the entranceway, whatever, you know, like the gates where you go in. They were up there patrolling, and they would, you know, like, they're pre-recorded, obviously, with but they're talking to each other. They were talking, you know, pointing out guests and so forth. That was super cool. And, you know, then I got all the pictures of, you know, you had an opportunity to get a picture with Jedi Mickey, you know, and all the characters like Goofy would be I don't see what he was, but you had all kinds, you know, they were just, they took on the roles. I think Minnie was Princess Leia. And it was just so fun. Then you had like the parade that was the stars, or not stars and motor cars. That was a regular parade, but what they call the Star Wars one, but it was just,
they had like the celebrities come through.
Yeah.
Like, we saw Peter Mayhew 1 year, like, rest in peace, but we saw him go through 1 year, like, in a motorcade, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah. I'm trying to see who the guest was here. It is Daniel Logan, Boba Fett. He was in the car going down but it was just so, anyway, there's another one too. Let's see who that is. Jay LaGaggia, Captain Typha. I don't know who that is. Oh, I know who he is. I see him. I didn't know his character name. But anyway, it was so cool because now, I mean, the thing is, if you could have known then while you were at Star Wars Weekend what the studios was going to be a decade later with Galaxy's Edge and Batuu, it would have been pretty remarkable, you know, because this was kind of, I think, the very first step for what the studios has become now because these weekends, if you didn't get to attend a Star Wars Weekend at the studios, they were always in, I think, May or June because it was always getting really, really hot.
It was always hot there.
And I mean, these were the Star Wars / Disney fans that were 100% invested in both franchises. So I've told this story a million times but I got to tell it just real quick one more time for people who haven't heard it. I'm at ABC Commissary getting something to eat. Dude in front of me, full Jedi robe. It's June. It is 100 degrees with like 100%. It is so hot. And I'm like, this guy is invested, man. He is in this thick brown robe looking like Obi-Wan Kenobi. I'm in a t-shirt and shorts and is dying. I'm like, I'm not going to make it 5 more minutes. It's so hot. So, you know, I'm there. I'm behind this guy. Well, he orders for his entire family, apparently, because it comes out and it's like on 3 trays. You know, it's like, I got like 5 sodas on the one tray, the burgers and the sides on another tray and so forth. So he's looking at the stuff like, oh, man, I don't Like, you could tell, like, he doesn't know how he's going to get this back to his family because he's got three trays. He's only got two arms. And, I mean, like, those sodas are so unsteady, the tall, skinny sodas at Disney. Those are soda. Yeah. So the guy behind me, best line ever I've heard at Walt Disney World.
Use the Force. Use the Force, Obi-Wan.
I was like, that is so wrong. That is so wrong, but it is so hilarious. So yeah, that was it. But
I love Star Wars weekend. So
they were so cool.
The last year we did it, like it was one of my favorite trips we ever did. Actually, we did 9 nights at the Yacht Club.
Oh man!
And we had a heck of a deal, and it carried over 2 of those Star Wars weekends. So we went 2 different weekends. And being at the studio, being at the Yacht Club, you know, you could just walk over to the studios or take the boat. And that year they were doing like some weird, like sci-fi special breakfast. Like we had a breakfast where Greedo was there, like the Jawas. Like it was like super awesome, super expensive, but it was totally worth it. I can post some of those photos too, because I think they only did it like that 1 year too, which was super awesome. But one of my favorite memories is, so we're waiting in line to see Leia. And there's this family in front of us, this British family. And they have twin kids. There's a boy and a girl, and you could tell that they're twins. And one's dressed as Luke and one's dressed as Leia.
Was their real name Luke and Leia?
I don't think that was their names. That would be awesome. Actually surprised based on this guy's like love for Star Wars, because he was like talking to us the whole time. But and I kind of like elbowed Elizabeth, like, oh man, like they're gonna love this. Like Leia's up there, like that's gonna be a cute photo. Then all of a sudden, Luke came out. Like, you know how, like, they would just, like, come behind, like, backstage or whatever? Yeah. And you should have seen the dad's, like, reaction when Luke came out. He's like, oh, my God, it's Luke, it's Luke, it's Luke. And then, like, C-3PO came out. Oh, my God, it's 3PO, it's 3PO. Like, he was just, like, a 6-year-old boy having the time of his life. But then, like, he just went crazy because his twins were about to take a photo with the Skywalker twins. And, like, it was, like, the greatest moment of this guy's life. And I was just... ear to ear just smiling. That, like, just watching other families' memories sometimes too, you know, is just like a highlight for you. Like, you make your own memories, but seeing other people's memories like that are things that you just don't forget.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Sometimes just watching an experience happen when it's even not even your family, not you, it's stuff that you'll hold on for 50 years. I've seen a lot of those things, and I love it. That's why you just got to keep your, you know, keep your head up and out of your phone a lot. And I'm guilty of that many times on trips, but, you know, watch the interactions around you because they're super special. Now, Nancy here, I got to get Nancy in here because she's kind of going along with your story from a minute ago. She says, when our kids were little, we got caught in the rain and tried to hold out to not buy those ponchos because they were so expensive. Been there 100 times. I always it's only going to rain once. We're there in August. Dude, it's hurricane season. It's going to rain every day. But I'm like, nah, we probably don't need them. Okay, so I get it. She says, we'd finally give in and buy them and put them on over our soaked bodies. Every inside ride would have air conditioning on strong, and we would be wet and cold all day. We saved those ponchos for all of our next visits and had them when the first drop fell. So, yeah, once you finally fork up the money for them, they can be shredded, because they do get shredded after a while, but you're going to hang on to them forever, I remember. Yeah. I wish I had a yellow one.
We went ponchos one time. I prefer the umbrella personally, but one time we went with nachos. You know what I'm thinking about right now.
That's right.
We went with the nachos. We went with the ponchos once, and it was for one of those after hours. Actually, you weren't with us at that party, but it was a vacation we did together. And it was raining at the start of the after hours party, and I think it really scared so many people off. We were like, you know what? We pre-bought these tickets. Let's just do it. It's our last night. Let's have some fun. And it rained for maybe like 10 or 15 minutes. And like, so yeah, it stunk that we bought those ponchos, but it was totally worth it because it kept everyone out of that park. Like, you could do anything you wanted that night. It was the best after hours. So sometimes the rain can work in your favor like that.
Well, too, and you got to think about it, because sometimes you can control the weather. If I fork out $50 for ponchos, it will stop raining 5 minutes later.
You're absolutely right.
You just got to watch that stuff. Okay, my last story, because I know we're going a little bit long, but I know it's not a trip report today, but I hope that maybe this is distracting you on the drive-in or on a run or whatever you're doing, you know, last-minute show here. We're just having a good time, because I like talking about old memories. Yeah, so sure. This one is so funny, because it involves... Okay, so here's what happened. So we used to always go to the water parks. We go to Blizzard Beach, Typhoon Lagoon, almost every trip, because we go over the summer. They were included with our tickets. And we had a lot of time back then, because we were both teachers and we didn't, you know, back then I just worked one job and it was just like over the summer, neither one of us had much to do. So we just hang out. It was real vacation. So anyway, we go pay, this is before Mallory. So Paige is probably 7, or eight, I'm guessing. Well, let's see. Pam was pregnant with Mallory. So this is 2007. Okay, so this is 2007. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Paige is, you know, young, seven or eight. We go to Blizzard Beach. And at Blizzard Beach, if you've ever been there, have you ever been to Blizzard Beach?
I've only been to Typhoon.
Okay, Blizzard Beach in the kids area had this thing. It's called a flying fox. Do you know what a flying fox is? You see it on Survivor sometimes.
I don't know what a flying fox is.
You don't know what a flying fox is? Okay, for our listeners who don't know the technical term what a flying fox is, it's this bar that you hold on to with both hands above your head, and it's on a zip line. Okay, and usually it goes like downhill, you know, and like you just, so yeah. It's just basically like a zip line, but you hold on to it. It's called a flying fox, I think. So they had a couple of these at a Blizzard Beach for the kids to get on. You get, you know, go up some steps, get on the flying fox, you down the thing, and then you would, you know, splash into the water. You'd let go at the end. So obviously Paige had never seen a flying fox either. So she gets up there and holds on. And so she's holding on. This was the funniest thing because Pam thought it killed her. And I knew it didn't kill her because she landed in the water. So she's holding on to this flying fox. And she is just skinny as anything back then. And she's still super skinny. But I'm just saying, she was just like, you know, a little soccer playing 7-year-old girl. She's just zipping out. It's like, and like at the end, there's these big like bumpers that stop the thing at the end of the line. But the thing was, I'd been watching kids do this for like 10 minutes before she got on. You let go before you get to the end and just splash into the water. She must have freaked out on the thing and got scared going down. So she's like clamped down on the thing and she's going down this flying fox. She hits that bumper. Her feet go. She does like a back somersault. Like people around us were all like,
"Is that girl okay?"
Dude, it was like the craziest gymnastic move ever. Because the thing was, by getting scared and holding on, it was way worse. Because you know you had to just cut loose and just fall into the water. But apparently, I guess like 3/4 of the way down, it's like And I mean, she was. Oh man, it was. I can't like just to think about it right now. I'll lose.
Just
it,
think so. About you because I know you talk about technology a lot in the show. Man, could you imagine if you would have had your iPhone then?
Oh
you
yeah,
could have got a photo of that.
Like a bounce, like a bounce video or like a slow mo.
Yeah, and then you could just ruin her for the rest of her life by sharing that to every person.
But I'll give her credit; she did Summit Plummet that day too, when she was only 7 years old. So there you go.
Wow,
so, good memories.
Have you done Summit Plummet?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've done it a few times. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The thing's scary, man. It's scary, and B, it's painful. That thing is super painful. Oh, Stacy sells it on that video, but it's the only good thing about Summit Plummet is when you're on top, you can see everything on property. Yeah. You can see all the parts.
From that. I mean, it's probably worth it just to go up there and say, okay, never mind.
No, you can't do that, man. You'd have to do the walk of shame. I'm not doing that, man. Just shoot me down the thing. But I'm not kidding. It's like
I remember Greenie, like Mike Greenberg from Mike and Mike. Yeah. Like he told a story about doing Summit Plummet and he got all the way up there and that's what he did.
Shut up. He didn't go down.
He got like his feet in the water and he said, he told the story on the show once. He's like, and I couldn't do it.
It's no joke, man. It is like straight down. When you sit down, you're like, this thing is not at an angle. This is not safe. Like when you get on, I mean, I'd watched, you know, 100 people go down it safely, but I'm thinking this cannot be safe, man. I'm like going over a 90 degree angle. Like there's gotta be like a 45 or something. I was like, oh man, I'm just going. Cause I don't want to be a wuss.
Sounds terrible. But when he told the story too, though, cause like a lot of people knew him, like he was just getting heckled, like going back down those steps for the walk of shame. Oh, you're such a wimp, bird. Oh, that's so funny to hear him tell that story.
Give us one last story. Then we're going to wrap. For the day.
Oh man, you kind of put me on the spot here.
Oh, you don't have one more? I'll see what I can
do. No, I can do one more for sure. One of my favorite stories is like a lot of our stories were just like hang out with friends. I love that, like that Nomad Lounge one that I missed out on. But one I did not miss out on, and I don't know if we ever talked about this on the podcast, is that we watched the college football playoff game as a big group in Martha's Vineyard.
Yes,
and
that Bankhead.
Was so much fun. It was Alabama Clemson. We had Captain Mike Bankhead with us. As everyone knows, he is like the diehardest Clemson Tiger fan out there. And unfortunately, they got destroyed that night. But
Roll Tide.
That was so much fun. Just like chilling back, just watching some college football. Something that you don't think about, like a Walt Disney World vacation, is I'm going to sit and watch a college football game with friends. Like that was, I don't know, it's just one of my favorite memories. Just sitting as a big group, watching some football.
You know, kind of as we wrap this up, it's one of the things I kind of want to point out is I look at my photos from, you know, 2004 when we really started going, 2003, when, you know, Pam and I got together and Paige, we had all three go down as a family of three. You know, it was always just us on those trips until really we took her mom one time. So she went down with us over Christmas one time. So we took Pam's mom and that was a good time. But until like the podcast started and we got to do meetups and stuff like that, you know, it was just us. And those trips were some of our favorite trips. But like you point out, there's such a different dynamic if you ever get the opportunity. And I know a lot of folks, you know, typically just go with your close family. That's what most people do when they go to, you know, on vacation to Walt Disney World. But when you get to meet up with people that become your friends, basically your family, you know, like I, like we're almost like brothers, you know, we talk all the time. We do, you guys know, we do just about everything together. It's so different because we're really good friends, yet you're in Michigan, I'm in Missouri, so we don't get to hang out for a college football Saturday like I would if my friend was down the street, you know, like somebody I teach with or something like that. So when we get to do things at Walt Disney World, people think we're kind of crazy a lot of times because you're at Walt Disney World, yet a lot of times we'll hang out at the pool at the villas or we'll go watch a football game at a lounge. You know, it becomes the pictures earlier were always doing attractions, being in the theme parks, but my later pictures are now things like you just mentioned, watching football games, hanging out together in somebody's villa or just hanging out at the pool or going, you know, and doing something that's just, we're chilling at a at Olivia's on the patio, you know, it's
that was
funny
the one how I was going to say too. I think we talked about that story a lot in the podcast.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's the evolution of how you vacation at Walt Disney World. And I think that's one of the great things about Walt Disney World, why we can be such fans and have podcasts and really discuss this for, you know, almost 12, 13 years is that there's so many different ways to vacation, yet they're all equal and all fun.
Yep, you said that right. Like during the summer, like when we're barbecuing, I'm like, dang, like why aren't the Ramans here? Why aren't the Forsters here? Like you just wish that we could have those like those moments, those non-Disney moments, you know, in our hometowns. But we try to, you know, replicate that when we're together at Disney World by doing, like we've even talked about grilling once at a pool once on 4th of July. We're going to grill some hot dogs. Like let's just make this a really like family thing, like back home.
It is. It's so fun. So, you know, I hope you enjoyed today's show because it's just Scott and I hanging out, talking about memories. We this is what we do when we text each other, call each other. It's kind of fun to eavesdrop on other people's stories, I think, a lot of times. So that's today's story. We had to kind of pinch it and squeeze this one in. Hope you enjoyed it. Give us some feedback. Let us know on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. Let me know what you think. And we'll probably do more of these if you like them. But don't forget, it's a Monday, so today's show brought to you by our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. When you're ready to make crazy stories like these, drop by themagicforless.com. It's a great site to get the trip started. They have pictures of all the resorts, layouts of the rooms, all the current specials, how you can save money. You know, is there free dining going on? Or not right now, but, you know, who knows? Is there, a room discount? Is there some kind of a ticket deal? All the information is right there. And while you're there, the best thing to do is fill out that free, no obligation quote form. Just put down as much information as you have. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Very important. And then an agent will get back to you right away. And you can get some initial numbers, availability, and, you know, you're not tied to anything. And, you know, if the dates don't line up exactly, we can funnel those down, change the dates a little bit, switch a resort if you need to, whatever, until we get you the perfect package. And then you're on your way making these kind of memories. Also, Disney Cruise Line, Disneyland, Adventures by Disney. So please do support the folks who support us. Drop by themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, costs you nothing extra, and every purchase really does help support everything we do here on the show. So please bookmark it, pass the word, and use it as often as you can. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Again, follow us on the social media, Instagram and Twitter at brguestmike and at brguestpod. And of course, facebook.com/beourguestpodcast. All right, we're going to be back again on Wednesday with more of your listener questions. But for Scott, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.